If you weren't here last week, I would actually, it's actually a message we started posting. I would actually encourage you to go listen to it on the website because it's not long. It's 28 minutes. It's really not long. But I got some feedback from a couple of people here and people outside. It's just I felt like it was something from the Lord for here. And I went to school with Tyrannus, and it was a small little place there in Ephesus that Paul set up shop. And from that place, the gospel spread throughout the whole region. And I just listened to that. I talked about the parable of the pounds as well. Being faithful in little qualifies you for much. And sometimes we're constantly looking what God's going to do or what's going to happen when I get this or when I do that. And oftentimes if you know, I see a forest in my future, all these trees, the way you go there is the Lord will hand you a seed first. And you say, that's just little. I want this. And the Lord gives you a seed, especially you go do business with that seed. Okay? And it's just something I felt for here, and I shared some, you know, like I just value and honor so much the, you know, the outreaches that we're doing, Warm Center, the prisons, the things where we're, my heart is to see people equipped and trained. That's ultimately my biblical mandate, scripturally, to go out, because one person doesn't do it. Just like, it, like I said, Paul didn't have Twitter, he didn't have Facebook, he didn't have, but he, people who met there in that school went out and affected the whole region. It spoke to me. Amen. I want to speak to you about some stuff this morning, and I spoke about on the Tabernacle of Moses. If you remember, a few weeks ago we had Christmas and New Year's, and if you just remember that briefly, the Tabernacle of Moses is a picture of Jesus. There's 13 chapters in Exodus, 18 in Leviticus, 13 in Numbers, 12 in Deuteronomy, and 131 verses in the book of Hebrews devoted to that subject. And it's a beautiful study. I don't know how all of it's going to go with what I'm sharing, but it's wonderful. It's a picture of Jesus, a picture of the church. You can speak on it prophetically. There's just so many nuts and bolts in it. And I'm going to share something this morning. I actually feel like something's from the Lord, and it's actually going to be a challenge to us in an area. And I want to give you something in a minute. But turn with me to Exodus chapter 25. I'm going to look over a few verses. Exodus 25, verses 1 through 7. Exodus 25. All right, it says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen and goat's hair, ram skin dyed red, badger skins, and acacia wood, oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate.'" You can turn, I have a few more passages. The next one's in Exodus 35, verse 21. As you turn there, just a quick reminder. If you weren't here, Tabernacle of Moses was a portable structure, and said, "Let them make me a tabernacle, they might dwell in the midst of them." It was a place where Israel, where the Lord would come in and dwell and meet. And I spoke about how it was made according to the pattern, and the Lord's the Lord of pattern, and the Lord should always be center in our lives. In verse 35, chapter 35, excuse me, verse 21 through 25, just stay with me through these verses because I'm going somewhere. "Then everyone who came, whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing, they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all its service and for all its holy garments." I like it says the work for the work of the Lord for the tabernacle. "They came, both men and women, as many as had a willing heart, and brought earrings and nose rings, rings and necklaces, all jewelry of gold, that is, every man who made an offering of gold to the Lord. And every man with whom was found blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen and goat's hair, ram skins of rams, red skins of rams, excuse me, and badger skins, brought them. Everyone who offered an offering of silver or bronze brought the Lord's offering. And everyone with whom was found acacia wood for any work of the service brought it. All the women who were gifted artisans spun yarn with their hands and brought what they had spun, blue, purple, scarlet, and fine linen." One more little verse, and then I'll be done with these. If you flip to the next chapter, in chapter 36, verse 3 through 7, and this is my last one here in Exodus, I promise you. It says, "And they received from Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the making of the sanctuary. So they continued bringing him freewill offerings every morning. Then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, from each one the work he was doing. And they spoke to Moses, saying, 'The people bring more than enough for the service the work of the Lord has commanded us to do.' So Moses gave a commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, 'Let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary.' And the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient for all the work to be done." I'm going to speak to you this morning, let me say this. In the scriptures, one thing I have as a minister of the gospel, and I believe this is scriptural. I give account, and I believe this, if it sounds too serious, I believe it's true. I'll give account for everything I do during my time here before the Lord, and I'm accountable to Him. And so, in the scriptures, and I wrote some stuff down, the gospels contain more warnings about the misuse of money than any other subject. One in every four verses of the Synoptic Gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, and Luke, deal with money. One in every six New Testament verses deals with or makes reference to money in some way. Almost half of Jesus' parables refer to money, particularly a warning against being covet. I have a hard time with that word. Covetousness, I have a hard time with that word. The first apostle to fall was Judas, who sinned because he loved money. He sold Jesus for money he never lived to spend. Let me say this. It took, and I'm going to go somewhere with it, so stay with me before I lose you. It took resources, offerings, for the tabernacle to be built. I'm going to speak some about money and money in the kingdom economy, but what I want us to, my heart is not going to be a list of do's and don'ts. My heart is that we would be a generous people. And I'm going to challenge you at the end. Let me just go and tell you up front, because one thing, the gospel should never be prostituted. And one thing I don't like is people say, "You better give or God's going to..." I don't play that game. I don't do it. But what I want to do at the end, I'm going to set a date in a couple weeks. I'm going to share more about it as we go. I'm going to take an offering here. And not a penny of it's going to go to this house, this church. Not a penny of it. It's not about me trying to do that. I'm going to speak more as we go. I'm just sharing this up front. A generous spirit, a generous heart, is scriptural. It's kingdom. It's a godly. But we're going to sow it into another church in town. I feel Pastor Morton's church. He has a spirit-filled church in Pawcatuck who is, I think they could use it. Warm Center and the Pawcatuck Neighborhood Center. And I'm going to share more about this as we go, but it's going to be an offering that we receive because I want us as a house, as a people here, to be a generous people. Money either has me or I have it. Either I can take this out and this is how I view things. This is either a tool and a weapon to further the kingdom of God, or something that keeps me bound up that I have to keep. Okay? My heart here is for us to be a people who this, I'm not talking about being foolish with it, but this is a tool and a weapon for the work of God in the earth. Okay? In the tabernacle of Moses, they gave so much to the work that the Lord commanded. So they gave it to the Lord. The last chapter, they had to say, "We have more than enough. Stop." Wouldn't that be amazing? And my heart here this morning is not to take stuff for here at this church. The Lord blessed us here. It's not my heart. My heart is that we would be generous to be a church that's giving. And we do give to other places and people. I don't broadcast it enough. I want you to be aware of that. But I want to take something. I'm going to share more about that as we go. Let me, and even the whole, "For God so loved the world that He gave." When Paul, and I'm going to look through this, some of the greatest chapters on giving in the scriptures is 2 Corinthians 8 through 9.
chapters, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, chapter 9.
And one of the things, if you read, if you study Paul in his apostolic ministry, something he was big in was taking and giving to other places. Let's bless, and as it was a collection for the saints, he exhorted them to give by giving the example of Jesus Christ. And he says, I have this verse down. For you, after he talks about giving, he said, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty we might become rich." Okay. The issue, and I have actually, I was preparing this, and actually I have 11 pages of notes, and I'm not going to do them because I want to just kind of give you a heart. So I'm not entirely sure how this is going to come out. But I believe Andrew didn't know I was going this route with this, but to me, money is a lordship issue. And so why do we have all this stuff about money? Because, you know, I need money, right? I have to pay my bills. But you cannot serve both God and mammon. And so either I'm more conscious of him or my finances. In Luke chapter 16, you don't have to turn there, but dealing with your finances, Jesus gave the parable of the shrewd steward. In Luke 16, he says, "If you're not faithful in the least of these, who can trust you with true riches?" In other words, if I'm not faithful, and I'm talking about the least of these as far as priority, if I'm not faithful with this, the least of these, how can he entrust me with true riches? That can be in my personal life, life of my family, can be in the life of a church. If I'm not faithful with this, the least of these. And when I say true riches, I'm not even talking about extra finances, because I'm not going that route this morning. But true riches, I'm going to give you a story in Acts in a minute. True riches. Lord, we want all that you have for us. Lord, I want you to do this. I want this. And just like the seed last week, he says, if you're not faithful with this, how in the world can I trust you with true things? There's always a connection between the what we see in the natural and what happens in the spirit throughout the scriptures, okay? And so it's something I'm going to share on. I'm going to give, one thing I've learned to do is assume nothing. and I'm, some of you in here are probably well-versed in issues of giving and things, but some of you, I'm aware, it might be brand new to you or something. So I'm going to share a few things. My heart, again, this morning is not a list of do's and don'ts. If I give you that, then I failed. What I want to do is see the Spirit of God stir you to be a generous with finances. You can also be generous with your time, with other people, with things. And even, let me just say this too, I'm going all over the place. The church, in my opinion, at least my heart, what God's given me and put in my spirit, is the church should be a place where we're blessing other people. Amen.
Amen.
I don't ever feel, and I was a part of a ministry one time where it's constantly, we need. I don't want that. I want to have a church where I'm constantly, you have a need, we're here to bless, and we're here to give. You can also do that in your own time. Just a common thing you can do. If you go out to eat, tip that person really well.
Amen.
That's something else. And I used to work at a car wash, I remember in high school, college, and it was amazing. The people who would come in and get the best, had the vans with the best thing, would give me a dollar. And someone who came in with barely anything would bless me, and you appreciate. Just help the person pay their bills. Okay, that's the best witness. I was with a guy one time, and he left a tract on the table. You know, a better witness would be to put a $20 bill on the table. That's me, and bless them and sow into them. But I want to share a few things with you. Let me read Luke 16, 10 through 12, then I'm going to flip the page, because I'm going to come back to this. "He who is faithful in what is least," and he's talking about the stewardship, "is also faithful in much." So if I want the Lord to entrust me with true spiritual riches, listen, maturity is expensive. In other words, God's not mad at you if you don't give or anything. Okay? You're not going to hell for that, anything like that. But if I really want the best, I want all of it, then he has to be Lord over every area of my life, including my money. Because money is something we all have, and he needs to be Lord over that area of my life. And if I'm going to be Christ-like,
If I'm going to walk in the love and the heart and the nature of ministering of Christ, I have to have a generous spirit in me. Okay? And so it says, he who is unjust in what is least is also unjust in much. Therefore, if you've been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? Okay? We're all stewards. If, as a citizen of the kingdom of God, I don't own this. I'm a steward of it. Psalms 24:1, he owns everything. Right? He is the king. Okay? He owns it, and he entrusts me with it. And I steward what he gives me. Okay? Let me share a few things with you, and I'm doing this part for maybe some who don't really know much about anything about this. And there's a passage in one of the, I'm not going to spend long on it, but there are, I like to listen to a wide variety of folks and hear what they're saying. There's people in the body of Christ who I highly respect who believe that, you know, tithing is, because tithing actually was before the law, during the law, and after the law. And there's those who feel like in the new covenant it's giving and not so much. Bottom, whatever, I'm not getting into that. You cannot, I challenge you, you cannot read the scriptures and come out of it and say God does not want us to be generous with temporal unrighteous mammon. Okay? I challenge you, you can't do it. So let me read to you. You don't have to turn there. In Malachi, I had an Italian teacher in Bible school, and he said that's the only Italian book in the Bible. It's Malachi, and so Malachi chapter 3 verse 8 through 10. So for you Italians, your claim to fame. It says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there be not room enough to receive it. Let me just say this. As New Covenant believers, Christ has become a curse for us. We're not cursed, okay? And I'll say this. If you don't give, you're not going to be. You are in Christ now, okay? And so I'll say, the Lord's not angry at you. It's nothing like that. I think it was Bob Ulrich. I think it was Andrew Womack who said, if you don't tithe, I think he said, it's not that God's mad at you. He said you're just stupid. I think it was him who said that. And I can actually agree with this. Not like you're going to get struck. And there's different things. The tithe was actually something the Levites used, and we get tenth from the word tithe. But I've actually read this, and I believe it's true in multiple places. Either from somewhere between 23% to 30% is actually what they tithed. And you can go, it was before the law, it was in the middle. Before. Whatever the case, the tithe, the basic principle is into the storehouse, the place where you fellowship, 10%, and then offerings. This is just a traditional thing. Offerings is where you go and you give outside of the place. I'll just share practically, just to be an example of what I do, and then I'm going to get into some more hard stuff. I've always, what I do as far as my giving, my church is actually, you know, Assemblies of God is, that's my leadership and my covering, you know, the superintendent, he's pastor, and Pastor Bob, and so 100% of my tithe go there, and my offerings go other places. And it's something Andrew and I have always done. We've done it in, I will say this, just as to some folks have lived it more than I have, and kudos to you. We did have a season in our life where it didn't make sense financially for us to give anything. And we did it. And you hear this all the time, and honestly, in our life, it worked. We always had enough. And it did add up in the books before when we budgeted, but it added up. I was faithful to give, you know. And something we even do, we used to do this, and we should do it more. We used to set aside a certain amount each month we would just give to the ministry the Lord put on our heart and just bless them. Do you know it's fun to do that?
Right.
to just say, I'm going to give whatever you give, a portion of what you have. I'm going to get to that in a minute, because you don't remember the widow's mite. She gave men more than the other ones. She gave based on what she had. You don't have to. But I had a little bit, and we would just bless the site. It was fun. Like, oh, who are we giving to this month? And it came like an exciting thing. I need to talk about it. We just do it more sporadically now. Be a giver. When we study the kingdom of God, it was, you know, not if you pray, but when you pray. And coupled with that, it's not if you fast, but when you fast. And also your charitable deed is not if you do it, but when you do it. And so as a citizen of the kingdom of God, you know, you don't have to do any of that. But if you're really growing and maturing in your walk with God and you want more, then Jesus is going to be the Lord and the King over the almighty dollar. Okay? It's just the truth. So it involves a heart change for us. Let me get to the kind of the heart of it. And there's a few things. I know the verse in 1 Peter, you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, right? In Revelation, he's made us kings and priests. And I see in my walk with God as, you know, Jesus is the King of the kings. He's the King. But I'm his son. And so I am a royal priesthood, just like you are, okay? I'm royalty. He's my king. And one thing we have in our culture is that the notion we think of a king is someone who, and even our nature, sons of the king, we have royal DNA within us. Okay, I'm not going to speak much on that. But we have the idea that kings are someone who's always, we bow down and we serve, and we do it for the king, kings, but as our walk as people on this earth, Jesus was the pattern of a king, and what did he come to do? Yes. He was the one, like I said last week, who would take and do a servant's job and clean the camel manure off the feet of his disciples. And said, Lord, why are you doing this? Because he's come to serve. The greatest among you is servant of all. And the more you grow in your walk with God, the more authority the Lord gives you, those are graces to be a servant. I remember reading a story, I think I've shared this here. There's a lady, and she became ordained, and she found herself in a home, like a CNA or something, and she was cleaning up stuff that you don't want to clean up in a nursing home. And she said, Lord, I'm a minister. I'm supposed to be doing something else. And the Lord said, yes, I have called you to minister, haven't I? Ministry, lesser servant. We're called to be servants. Great example of this, I've never seen it before, and I was listening to a minister, and he shared it in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 13, don't turn there. It says, now King Solomon gave the queen of Sheba all that she desired, whatever she asked, besides what Solomon had given her, according to the royal generosity. So she turned and went on her own country, she and her servants. The queen of Sheba had all she could want. King Solomon is a picture of Jesus. Gave to her. Why? Because it was in his nature as a king to be a giver. It should be in our nature and our DNA to be a giver. Amen? It should be the core of who I am. When I know who I am, just like Jesus, I think it's John 11 thing. Knowing who he was, the scripture says, he bent down, stooped down to serve. When I know who I am, I'm a son of the king. It's in my nature to be a blesser and a giver. Amen. What I have is not my own. In Acts chapter 11, verse 28, you know, we often say, I want to be like the early church. You know, when we read Acts and, you know, good and bad and ugly. I never saw this before in my life, and I was, Bill Johnson shared something, and it just stuck with me because I never read it like this. In Acts chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, it says, then one of them named Agabus stood up and was shown by the Spirit there's going to be a great famine throughout the whole world, which happened also in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did, and sent it by the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So if I think of it this way, if we had a prophet come in, there's going to be a famine throughout all of here. A lot of times our first instinct is, and you do take care of yourself, but my first instinct was, hoard up as much as you can, get as much as you can, and keep it for yourself. In the early church, their instinct was, let's take up an offering for the guys however many miles away who are going to be more needful than us. Does that speak to you the way it speaks to me? The first instinct, there's going to be a famine. Well, let's take up an offering for those guys over there. This was documented historically, this famine. Throughout the whole then known world, which means it's going to hit them too. A famine's coming here and it's also coming there. I'm going to take an offering for those guys over there. You understand? You hear the heart in that? Anybody? Yes? That flips thinking, normal thinking on its head. Because an instinct, I heard of this from multiple places. I can't remember the exact statistic, but Southern New England, it was the top, let's say it's the states or top five. I can't remember the exact numbers. Top five in per capita income in the nation, bottom five in per capita charitable giving in the nation. It means it's stingy for the most part. I worked with a lady, I won't do that, never mind. To get her a couple dollars is like having to get an attorney involved or something, okay? Don't be like that. Break that pattern.
Amen.
Break it. My brother sent me a text yesterday. And doesn't have to do, it's with General Mattis. And he said, let me just say this. Reporter, this is completely different. Let me do this. What military concerns do you have for 2018? His response was, I don't have any concerns. I create them. Stinginess is not my concern. I'm going to create something that counters that stinginess. Amen? And if someone's stingy, I'm going to bless them financially. Okay? I'm going to honor it and live in a different lifestyle and bless them. Okay? So that to me... When it comes to your finances, when it comes to how you live and how you operate and how you give, is my reaction, there's going to be a great famine, let's take all I can for myself, or there's going to be a great famine, what can I do for the guys who need it more than I do? Amen? It's just, let that sit in you. It spoke to me. Because I don't know, my first reaction might be, hey, let's take care of me. Okay, I got to flip that thinking on its head, okay?
Right.
I need to be a giver. And 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, those are beautiful two chapters. I'm not going to give all of that, but there are some good things I do want to mention in those. If you're interested in tithing or giving, these are some good chapters. And Paul was, again, he was taking collections for the Jerusalem church. And he went to the Corinthians who were more prosperous than the Macedonian church. Yet the Macedonian church was more generous with their money. And if you read context, the Corinthians say, yes, we're going to do it. We're going to give. We're going to give. We're going to give. We're going to give. And they never did it. So Paul just sent, say, okay, you've been saying you're going to. Now it's time to, we need to be a generous people. Paul was actually a great, I mentioned this earlier. If you study what he writes to these different churches, he was very big in supporting others. A missionary guy, really. Let's collect for these guys. Let's give to these guys. Let's do this. Amen. You know, it takes finances for the work of the kingdom. It just does. Okay? Again, I'm not talking about this right here. It takes finances for Pastor Morton to run his church down the road. Okay? It takes finances for the Warm Center and pocket him their nonprofits. Okay? We're going to bless them. All right. So just a few things in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. I'd love to do all of it. Let me just say, I speak in chapter 8, verse 8. It says, I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. If you feel, again, I'm going to take up an offering on the 21st. Like I said, in 2 weeks, not a penny of it's going to go here. If you feel pressured into it, I don't want you giving anything. My heart is that in the next couple of weeks, just like this, I speak not by commandment. You better do this or else. That's not the heart of God. I speak not by commandment, but I'm testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. What's the spirit in my heart? What am I offering? In a sense, for God so loved the world that He gave. Giving and love. We're supposed to be, we hear a lot, people who love, we love, we love. What's one way we show our love? Yes. Lord. And if and another thing in here says God loves a cheerful giver. So it means hilarious giver. I would say this, if you can't give cheerfully, then say, Lord, let me be a cheerful giver. Be Lord over my finances.
Amen.
And I want to be able to give to people with joy in my heart.
Amen.
That I can give. You know, the best gift I've ever gotten. Let me read this verse and I'm going to share that. In 8:12, for if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. John Calvin had a great quote about it and I can't find it. Don't compare what you give. You give proportion. Again, I think a great principle is the tithe principle, at least 10%. If the old covenant's an inferior covenant, the new covenant's greater, and I'm under grace now, then what I give should be at least 10%. There's a lot of stories you can read about people who I can't get by. They gave at least 10%, if not more, and the Lord just blessed their socks off, okay? It's just, it doesn't make sense. It's the kingdom of God. It's kingdom economics. It works. But give according to the best gift I've ever gotten in my entire life was from when I was in Bible school, a Ghanaian. His name was Samson, and he made me look like Andre the Giant. He was so small and frail. He was a pastor in Ghana. But he gave me, I can't remember if it was a $5 bill or a $10 bill. And it was, to me, it was the most money anyone's ever given me in my life because I knew what it cost him to do that. He came from a poor, dirt poor village in Ghana, and he gave me that $5 or $10, and it I was like, I don't want to spend this. Because to him, that'd be like some of us giving thousands of dollars. Okay? Don't feel if don't ever let anyone suck you either into if you better give this amount or this. I don't play that game. Some people do, it's fine. You give in proportion. Again, it says according to what one has and not according to what one does not have. A good principle is 10%, but you give as the Lord drops in your heart. Okay? And you let that be between you and the Lord.
Amen.
But don't measure it. You know, he makes this amount, he gives this much. Oh, I better. You know, he compares himself to others is not wise. Okay? You give and be clean in your heart before the Lord. A couple other passages real quick. And let me say this too. And if you're a member in Sermon on the Mount, do not announce your charitable deeds before men. Remember we talked about that? Matthew, I think it's Matthew 6. I know a guy and he gives and he wants everyone to know about how much he gives all the time. Don't do that.
Amen.
Okay? Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Am I giving to impress you or am I giving to the Lord? Okay? I'm giving unto Him. The Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Okay? Lord, and that goes for our lives in general. The Father who sees us secretly will reward us openly. There's 9, again, 9 chapter 5, 2 Corinthians. Says, may it be a matter of generosity and not grudging obligation. If you're in a place in your life, this is just me. If you disagree, then that's fine. It's just me sharing with you, and I feel like I have to give up grudging obligation. That's a good sign. I need to go to my prayer closet, and Lord, let me start being who you've made me to be, a generous person. Okay? God loves a cheerful giver. And in verse 6 through 7, but I say this, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. That, you can have a whole message on that. There's plenty of people in the body of Christ who've lived this more than I have. I've already told you about Andrew and I's life. We walked through it. We budgeted out our money. It made no sense to give any money to the church we were in, but we did it, and the Lord bless us. We had a teacher in Bible school. You can believe it or not, but he was the best man I've ever met in my life. He shared about this in his own life, and he said, I don't know how it happened, but I literally saw money added to my bank. I don't know if someone put it in or what. This happens. You've seen people just bless us generously. Let me share this. Let me read this passage. I'm going to share something else. And this is 2 Corinthians verse 9. I'm going to start in verse 11. It says, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God, for the administration of this service not only supplies needs to the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and for all men. And then verse 14 says, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Do you know, has anyone ever given you a financial gift? Let me share this. One thing we've done here at this church, and I haven't shared enough about it, we have been generous and giving to others. One of the best compliments I've ever gotten, we had, if you remember when Dominic was here, back when Andrew, we had Evan almost a year ago, I can't believe that. And we blessed him with an honorarium, and I know at least one of you I saw, maybe more, blessed him privately with a check. He sent me a text later and said, you guys, your generosity there is outrageous, or something like that. It's over the top. Okay? That's what I like to hear. And we've been generous. And just to give a praise report for the Lord, and then I get to something. You know, Liz is the treasurer, and we look at the money, and there's an amount of money I knew that we really needed going into 2018. Just based on some trends. And I was like, Lord, I don't know where this is going to come from. And it was about that dollar amount. And we got a check in the mail a couple weeks ago from someone I've never met before in another state that bought that dollar amount that I knew we needed, ballpark. And when I opened that, I was in here, and I didn't know whether to laugh or to cry, and my response was, thank you, Jesus. God, you are sovereign. You are. I can bless someone financially. It increases my faith and it increases their faith. Do you know you can, that, for thanks of God and for others, I can give, I can bless them. It could be something that they need, a need that they've met, something in their life, and it sends them to God and it boosts their faith, and it's cyclical. It keeps going. It keeps going. I'm going to end with something. There's a pastor I heard of, and he said he went to a new church, and he said the first few weeks I felt to just share on giving. And he said he took what was called a repentance offering, which I'm not feeling, for those who haven't. And they took a very big offering. It's a much bigger church than this. And he said we went, and we had different ministries in town we're going to give it to. And he said we gave it to one, and we took it to this pastor. He said, no. This is pretty much the amount that we're back on the bills. And he rejoiced, praised God, and stirred him so much that what do you think he did? He took and he started blessing others. And it's a snowball effect. I'm being blessed. I was blessed a couple weeks ago if someone cut us this huge check. And that just stirs me even more. I'm living it right now. I want to take it and bless someone else. Amen? Because God's faithful. No one gives a penny here. Someone else, God's going to put in someone else's heart to do it. And he's faithful, and we start giving. I have a book as a French-Canadian pastor. I was reading it. I remembered it last night. I read it this morning in my office. And he shared about how he went to Haiti. If you remember the big earthquake there back in, I guess it was 2009. We went around that ballpark, and then the big earthquake. And he was there ministering at a church. And very poor, as you can imagine, and the church did not have a roof. And he said, I got up there to minister, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord just came on me, and I looked at the pastor and the founding pastor and said, the Lord's going to put a roof on this church. And he looked at the founding pastor's name, and he says, you're going to be here to see it. And he said, as soon as I said, I was like, oh no, what did I just say to these Haitians? He got back to Canada, and 2 weeks later, The earthquake hit, and the church was spared, but the Lord stirred his heart. I don't remember all the details. I read it quickly this morning. It's been a while since I'd read it. And he went to the church, and they had, I think it was a certain amount of money they had to raise for the funds, and they were going to do it in a year for this church. It wasn't a lot. It was about 150 people there. And he said, we ended up taking $32,000. We put the roof on that church. It caused such a stir that the Canadian, as they had like a celebration thing to give it, Canadian, or the Haitian ambassador from Canada, came to the service where they had the thing done. The mayor came up from that city in Haiti. They dedicated that church, and that church now, with the roof, is blessing and giving to other churches in Haiti. The whole community there is prosperous, like the street they decided, the government there, the church where the roof is, they spruced up the street. The children, actually, the children were collecting funds, and now the children are collecting funds so they can have funds to give to the other people in the community. You see how a little giving, how following God's principle and pattern of giving from a generous heart and with a heart for someone else other than myself, how it can snowball and affect the kingdom of God. This one church in Canada, we're going to put a roof, we're going to take money, we're more blessed than you are. This church gets the roof, starts thriving, starts prospering, and starts blessing other churches in Haiti. That speaks volumes to me, actually. And if we start living this way, and if I break it, some of you in here are, I'm sure you're better givers than me. This is an area God still works with me on. Give more and more. But if I can break that pattern of stinginess and say, you know what? You're Lord of my life, you know? But you're Lord of this too. You're Lord of this. You cannot serve both God and mammon. Money is something, you know, money, we all know this saying. Money is not evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. Okay? My affections are to him, right? Not to this. As my affections are to him, it's a reduced interest. I need money, I use money, but money doesn't use me. Okay? Why is there so much in the Gospels about finances? Do we have to have it? And the Lord obviously knows that if it has us, it's going to cripple us and hinder us from walking the lifestyle that God's called us to live, to walk and live as citizens of the kingdom of God on this earth, right? And I've already given you two stories. There's got to be a whole lot more that people have, I'm sure, of where just a little generosity and a little giving, a little blessing can have a snowball effect. I heard one more story. I'm going to close with this because I've been too long. This is a simple thing. Someone paid back. They went to drive through at Starbucks and said, I'm paying for the guy, for me and the guy behind me. And the guy behind him did it and went on it for 24 different people where they paid for the person behind him. And they paid for the person behind him. You see that? It's contagious. I want that to be contagious here. And that this church and this ministry here and this community that God's put us in is not one that's just saying, I need. But it's one that says, I give. Because I'm called to be a blessing here. I am called to go out. We've talked about some last week. I'm called to feed the poor. I'm called to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. I'm called to do all those things. But I'm also called to take the resources God's given me in my wallet and use them the way that He says to use it. Amen? Amen. In the church that we're not needy, but we're givers. I'm a giver. You're a giver. Just challenge your heart. I'm going to do it in 2 weeks. Take up an offering. Do what you want with it. I have a base amount I'm going to give. And if it's below that, then I'm going to do it. I will say, just to honor you guys, we had the Woods here this summer. I had a base amount, and they got considerably more than that. Same for Phil Wester when we sent Phil off a few months ago. I was very pleased with what we took up for him. God honors that kind of a thing. Amen. And whatever we take up in a couple weeks, not a penny of it's going here. I can promise you that. And you can check it up. It's not a penny that's going here. It's all going to those places the Lord's put on our heart. So be generous. Sow that seed. God loves a cheerful giver. I'm not a cheerful giver. Some of you are. If some of you aren't, Lord, work that thing inside of me. Let me be generous with the finances that you've given me, also the time you've given me, the resources, everything that you've given me. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's the word of the Lord. It is. And there's a lot of other aspects about giving and tithing I didn't touch on. I was just trying to give you a heart of a generous spirit.
Amen.
Because it starts with that. If I don't have a generous spirit, there's no point in going over do's and don'ts. A generous spirit. So Father, we love you. And Lord, just as they gave to the tabernacle back then so much that they said, just we have to stop. We have too much, Lord. Lord, I ask that you would just cause, Lord, the spirit of generosity, Lord, just to fill all of our hearts. And this would be known in this area, in this region, as a generous house. A house that gives, a house that blesses, a house that touches other ministries, other nonprofits that are going out and doing, you know, really the work of the kingdom. So we just ask, Father, that you just fill us, that we become cheerful givers. Lord, that you're Lord over every area of our life, God. Every single area, Jesus, that you're King over every area of my life, Lord. And so we love you, Jesus. We honor you. We bless you. I thank you for this people. I thank you for this church and for this region and for this area that you've called us to. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You guys be blessed. Remember, prayers Tuesday.